Tonight we are in the study of the tabernacle, lesson number 5, from Exodus chapter 25. There are 7 pieces of furniture in that tabernacle, and each of them speak of Christ, and they also speak of salvation. These 7 pieces of furniture are arranged in a particular order so that they give us a pathway to glory. The first piece of furniture that we've already discussed was the brazen altar, where the animal sacrifices were made and where the blood was poured out. That speaks of Christ, our sacrifice. It pictures the cross, for Jesus paid for our sins upon the cross. He died upon that cross, and that Old Testament altar pictured the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we spoke last time of the laver, which is Christ, our sanctification. Because they washed in the laver, and washing is symbolic of sanctification, that is, being cleansed. So first, Christ, our sacrifice, then Christ, our sanctification. And now we are coming to the golden lampstand, which represents Christ, our sight. And we're going to talk about this tonight, beginning in Exodus 25, verse 31. And it says, "And thou shalt make a lampstand." Now, some translations have the word candlestick, and that doesn't quite do it. There was no candle involved, and it's important that we understand that, and I'll tell you why in a moment. "And thou shalt make a lampstand of pure gold, of beaten work shall the lampstand be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs," or some have knops, "and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side, 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds on the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand. And in the lampstand shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers, and there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the lampstand. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold." And that's important. "And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it." Now, may I tell you that this golden lampstand, it speaks in the broadest sense about Christ, our sight. And it really has a threefold message. A message number 1 concerning the Savior, a message number 2 concerning the saints, and message number 3 concerning the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit. 3 wonderful, glorious truths are taught in this golden lampstand. First of all, a lesson concerning the Savior. And as you look at verse 31, it's obvious that here in type, picture, prophecy, and illustration is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. And verse 31 says, "Thou shalt make a lampstand." And there's what one purpose of a lampstand, and that is to give light. And the Bible teaches very clearly that Christ is the light of the world. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, concerning Jesus, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then continuing in the Gospel of John, chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so it is natural for us to see that this lampstand pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives light. For that is the purpose of a lampstand. And that is the purpose of our Savior in this world. "As long as I am in the world," Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now, if an ordinary man had looked at the tabernacle, he would have said, "The architect who drew this made a terrible mistake. He didn't put any windows in it." Well, God didn't want any windows in it. Inside that tabernacle, it was to be pitch dark, and there was to be no illumination except the illumination of the golden lampstand. Because God is saying there are two kinds of light. There is natural light, and then there is supernatural light. Christ represents supernatural light. The world lives in natural light. The Christian dwells in supernatural light. And so there's a vast difference between the two. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man lives in natural light, and he doesn't understand the supernatural things of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, you can sit here tonight and listen to me teach about the tabernacle, but you'll never really understand the tabernacle by hearing someone teach you about it. You have to enter into the tabernacle to understand it. That is, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ that the tabernacle proclaims and portrays before you'll ever really understand the tabernacle. In order to see this light, you have to come to the inside. Those on the outside never saw the light of the golden candlestick. And so is Christ here, the light of the world. You know, you can't take a shovel and just shovel darkness out of this room. You can't take a broomstick and beat it out. But there is one thing that darkness cannot stand, and it's light. When you turn on the light, the darkness must go. And so many times we've done everything else but preach Jesus. We've done everything else but exalt Jesus. But what this world needs is Jesus Christ. And what our area needs is Jesus Christ. And anything we do that is less than proclaiming Jesus Christ is destined to fail. Darkness knows not two enemies. Not three enemies, but only one. The only enemy darkness knows is light. And we are foolish if we don't preach Christ, who is the light of the world. He's the only one that can do anything about the darkness. And then Christ is the Lord. We'll see also in verse 31 that Christ is the Lord because it says, thou shalt make a lampstand of pure gold of beaten work. Pure gold of beaten work. And that pictures Christ the Lord. Gold is a symbol of deity. Brass is a symbol of judgment. But now that we've come inside the building itself, we're no longer in the courtyard, but we're inside that tabernacle. We leave the brass behind. From now on, we're dealing with the gold. There was the brazen altar, there was the brazen laver, but now we're with the gold. The shimmering, beautiful, expensive, glorious golden candlestick pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it was of beaten gold. And the Bible says he was bruised, he was beaten for our iniquities, Isaiah 53:5. And the Lord Jesus Christ let the blows of this world fall upon him, that you and I might be made like unto our precious Savior. And so in verse 31, we see that Christ is the light because he is a lampstand. Christ is the Lord because it is pure gold. But then the third thing is that Christ is the life. He is the light, he is the Lord, and he is the life. As we continue to read in verse 31, notice that it speaks of a shaft with its branches, its bowels, its knobs, and its flowers shall be of the same. Now, what does that mean? Well, really, the knobs, the bowls, and the flowers are speaking of the bud, the flower, and the fruit that grows on a branch. And it's a very special kind of fruit. It's almonds. But now, why almonds? What's so interesting about almonds? Well, in the Near East, they call the almond tree the wakeful tree, or the tree that awakens first. And it speaks of resurrection. it speaks of life. Let me give you just a little clue here. Numbers 17:8 says, "And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and blossomed blossoms, and yielded almonds." Now, can you just imagine a walking cane? That's what it was, just a walking cane. Aaron's rod that he had out there in the desert that he'd used to strike at snakes with, that he would use to herd the sheep with, that he would lean upon, just a dead stick. And they looked at it, and there are leaves, and there are buds, and there are flowers and fruit. And all of this is a type, a picture of life out of death. It typifies, it pictures the resurrection. And here we see on this candlestick the same thing. We see the bud, we see the flower, we see the fruit. And it speaks to me of Christ, our life. It speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 31, I see Jesus as light, as Lord, and as life. But there's also, number two here, a lesson concerning the saint. We go back to our passage in Exodus 25 and continue to read. Verse 32, "And six branches shall come out of the sides of it." Now by now you know that the number six is the number of man. "Six branches shall come out of the side of it, three branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side." And then he goes on to describe the fruit, the blossoms, and the buds that are also to be upon the branches, because our life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the central shaft. And out of that central shaft, there comes three branches on one side and three branches on the other side. Now, one is the number of deity or the number of unity. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There is one central shaft representing the vine. And then coming out on either side are three branches. Three branches on one side, three branches on the other, making the number of man. And so here is man and God in perfect union. And when you get man and God together, you don't have six, you don't have one, but you have seven, which is the perfect number. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And then he said, "If you abide in me and let my words abide in you, then you will bear fruit. You will be fruitful." Now they understood what Jesus was talking about, because here in the central shaft, here are the arms abiding in that central shaft covered with buds and flowers and fruit. And Jesus said, as we abide in him, then our lives will become fruitful. And so there's this wonderful lesson tucked in here in the menorah, or the golden candlestick. Let me ask you, have you learned to abide? You see, it's only as these branches would abide in the central branch that they could either give light or bear fruit. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," John 9:5. But he said, "You're the light of the world," in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. So how do we become the light of the world? Well, as we stay attached to Jesus, who is the light of the world, we become light ourselves. "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. He also said, "You are the light of the world." All of this was one solid piece. It was one solid piece of beaten gold. And Jesus is the one who gives life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This pictures light and life at the same time. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And just as we abide in him and we give forth light, when we abide in him, we bear fruit. That's the only business I have in the world. That's the only business you have in the world. It's to bear light and bear fruit. We're not generators. We just bear light. We just bear it. We don't produce it. And we're not the tree, we're just the branch. We don't produce the fruit, we just bear the fruit. And so there's only one thing necessary for us to do, and that's to abide in Jesus. And so the Christian life really isn't very complicated at all. You can reduce the Christian life to one word, abide. That's it, just abide in Jesus. You don't have to worry about anything else. And the light, the life, the fruit, it all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. One central shaft, a symbol of sovereignty. Six, the symbol of man. Sixes by themselves are nothing. But six plus one, seven, makes perfection. Perfect fruitfulness, perfect light, perfect life, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would just learn to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ more than we do, that's my job, that's your job, to abide in Jesus. And then the third lesson is a lesson concerning the Spirit. Now, we said at the beginning that it was imperative that we understand that these are not candles. There were no candles on this configuration. And we call it a candlestick in some translations, but really it's a lampstand, not candles as we know them. The Jews didn't use candles as we know them in their worship. They used lampstands because they were fed by oil. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you will, in Exodus 27, in verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. So here was a lamp that burned on pure olive oil. And if you understand the Old Testament types, you will understand that pure olive oil was used for anointing. And the anointing was symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me show you how the oil is used for anointing. Look, for example, in Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, and he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. So Aaron, the high priest, when he was sanctified, getting ready to be a high priest, had oil poured on his head. And that pictures the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Aaron, the high priest. But it pictured more than the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Aaron, the high priest, for that was but a prophecy of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the church. And so the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And remember now that this central shaft that had a lampstand on it, which was higher than the others, and then the other six branches represent the Holy Spirit energizing both the Savior and the church. Let me say that again. It pictures the Holy Spirit energizing both the Savior and the church. Now, I want to tell you something I've told you before, but maybe you didn't hear it. Jesus did all that he did in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. His ministry was under the anointing oil. The light that Jesus gave forth was the light of the Spirit burning in Jesus' life. Now, you might ask, why is that so important? It's important because Jesus Christ is our example, and Jesus Christ is our pattern. Let me show you what I mean. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we read how God anointed, that means poured out the oil of the Holy Spirit, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and therefore Jesus' ministry was in and through and by the Spirit. Luke wrote Acts. Of course, Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. I want us to see something in his gospel, and it becomes crystal clear. And when you understand this, I trust that it'll bless your heart. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape, like a dove, upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So here is Jesus Christ, not receiving the Spirit, but here is Jesus Christ being anointed by the Spirit for power and for ministry. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. And Hebrews said, Thou art anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, Hebrews 1:9. You see, the central shaft was the highest of all. Jesus Christ was perfectly filled with the Spirit. None of us are. But Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, that is, his brethren. So here is Jesus, the very pinnacle. And here God has poured the holy oil out, the Holy Spirit, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus was such a light, because Jesus was burning the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now watch. We were just in Luke 3, 21 through 23. And if you go just a few more verses beyond that, you come to chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So here, Jesus is now filled with the Spirit, and he's being led by the Spirit. And verse 14 says, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Jesus went to face the devil under the leadership of the Spirit. Jesus defeated the devil and came out of that temptation experience in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 18 of chapter 4, Jesus stood in the synagogue and he opened the Word of God. And this is what Jesus read from the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Verse 18. Not only did Jesus face the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how did Jesus come forth out of the grave? The Bible tells us that Jesus, by the Spirit, offered himself in Hebrews 9:14. And then Jesus died in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we find out that in Romans 8, Jesus Christ was raised by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. So all of Jesus' ministry was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now understand, Jesus is God. But when Jesus came to this earth, he became like a man. And as a man, Jesus received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like I must, just like you must. Now, if Jesus had come to earth and behaved as God, he couldn't be my example. If Jesus had gone into the wilderness and as God defeated the devil, he could never have been my example. I imagine, though the Bible doesn't say it, I believe it within the realm of sanctified imagination, that Jesus said to Satan when he met him there in the wilderness, Satan, I want you to know that as God, which I am, I could obliterate you this very moment. I could defeat you as God. But I'm not going to do it, Satan. I'm going to defeat you as man. Jesus met Satan not as God. Jesus met Satan as man. Jesus was man just as much as though he were no God at all. And Jesus was God as though he were no man at all. He wasn't half man and half God. Not all God and no man. Not all man and no God. He was the God-man. Never been another like him. He is God's only Son. Never another like the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus performed his ministry, Jesus never pulled rank on us. Jesus never did something that you and I don't have the privilege and the prerogative of doing. Jesus never said, well, I'm going to use my prerogative as deity and defeat Satan. Jesus said, I'll depend upon the same power that we depend upon, the Holy Spirit. You see, both the central shaft and the branches all burn from the same oil. And that oil represents the Holy Spirit. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, went about doing good. And what a wonderful, wonderful lesson it is to us that the very same power that Jesus Christ used in his life is available to us. And the very thing that caused Jesus to be a bright and shining light and caused Jesus to be the light of the world causes me to be the light of the world, causes you to be the light of the world. The very same force that energized Jesus and gave him life can energize us and give us life. The very same force that caused Jesus to be fruitful can cause us to be fruitful as long as we abide in the vine and receive the oil, receive the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful lesson that is for us. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there sat upon every man's head what? Cloven tongues of fire. You see, the Lord, when he poured out the oil, he lit the flame. That's what it's all about, that we are to be the light of the world. We are those six branches now unified with the one central branch making perfection. And so all I have to do is to abide and shine. All I have to do is abide and bear fruit. You never saw a lamp trying to burn. It just burns. You never saw a branch trying to bear fruit. It just bears fruit. And when it abides in the vine, it bears fruit. Jesus said, you abide in me and I in you, and then you're going to bring forth much fruit. John 15:7. Now you see, if this had been a candle, the candle would burn itself out in a while. The candle gives of its own substance, but the lampstand burns the oil. Don't you think it's about time you started burning the oil and stopped trying to be a candle? You see, you'll not make nearly so much smoke, and you'll burn a whole lot longer. And what a beautiful fire it will be when you stop burning the wick and start burning the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing being a Christian. It's great to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful just to take the Bible and to turn to something just as simple as a golden lampstand and see such a wonderful picture of the Savior, who is the Lord, the life, and the light. And to see a picture of the church, six imperfect but unified with one who is sovereign, making seven, perfection, ourselves giving the same light and giving the same life because we're united to the same source. What a wonderful lesson to learn that both the central shaft and the six arms were all fed by a single source, oil that represents the Holy Spirit of God. So let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson to our hearts tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us to abide in Jesus. And Lord, cause this message to etch itself into our consciousness. Seal it, Lord, to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.